First of all, can I be heard in the back of the shop? Thank you for coming to the retreat. My prayers for weeks. And please God, this will be not just a good retreat, but the best you ever made. Before we begin our first conference, I'd like to make a few observations. As you know, Father Richard Brown is cooperating in this retreat. And even a short time for our meeting, as I've said so many times, a good retreat means making a good confession. And also, whenever free time is available for conferences, and I mean this, Father Bowen and I are working together. And consequently, whenever available time, either he or I have private conferences, I can use the verb wear us out, both Father Bell and myself. Then, as you know, a retreat should be made in silence. My favorite definition of silence, which never tires, is selective conversation. Silence does not mean not engaging in conversation. It means not engaging in conversation with another human being. Engage in animated conversation with our Lord. In other words, pray. The most important and indispensable source of grace is prayer. Pray. That's imperative. Pray. Followed by an exclamation mark. Then, a retreat is not made mainly to increase our own nearness to God. That is only a means. The purpose of a retreat is indeed to become more holy. But more holy, so we might be more effective channels of grace to others. Our final destiny depends on our practice of charity. And the most important thing we are to share with others is not, I repeat the negative, is not what is tangible or sensibly perceptible. The most important thing we are to share with others is the grace that God has given us. In other words, the purpose of a retreat is deeply apostolic. And will be only as effective channels of grace to others as we possess God's grace ourselves. The theme of this retreat is the Holy Spirit, as we'll explain in more detail before this meditation is over. I counted there are 8 meditations during a less than 2 full days. And consequently, we have to concentrate. I will try to spend most of the hour that we have for each meditation. That is also, you know, a retreat is to be a time not only of making decisions with the mind. No, the main purpose of making a retreat is to make resolutions with the will. The will, as we know, by itself is a blind faculty. The will cannot think. That's why we have a mind. So the mind, enlightened, might then inform the will. And therefore, there are 2 purposes for making a retreat: to enlighten the mind, know what is God's will in my life. And I want to emphasize, even though it is less than a 2 full-day retreat, a retreat should anticipate what God wants me to do for the rest of my days here in this Valley of Tears. The first purpose, therefore, of a retreat is to know what is God's will and know how God wants me to do His will. Know what and the whole. As I've said over the years, we never ask God why. All we need to know, or we better know, what He wants, not someone else. What He wants me to do. I repeat, not just for the immediate future, but for the future from now until I am called into eternity. Then a mind can light on how does God want me to do His will? That's on the side of the mind. On the second purpose of the retreat, having learned what God wants me to do and how He wants me to do it, then strength for the will to put into practice, first to desire what God wants me to do and how He wants me to do it. Then to choose, still with the will, what my mind and my mind's ways tells me is God's will in my life. And then to continue choosing. My favorite definition, as I've said so often, my favorite definition is sustained choice. Clearly, God wants to give us the light we need for the mind and the strength we need for the will, but we must want what God wants. And what God wants is what we need. And that's the purpose of the retreat, by way of introduction. Now, for the rest of this evening's meditation, to explain why this retreat will concentrate on the Holy Spirit. It is because the Holy Father, as I'm sure you know, has told all Catholics throughout the world to concentrate the last 3 years before the third millennium to concentrate on the three persons of the Holy Trinity. And this year, 1998, to concentrate on the Holy Spirit. Behind the Holy Father's decision, and one of his hopes is that it is God's will that he, Pope John Paul II, will survive in this world until the beginning of the third millennium. This year, as I'm sure you know, is the 20th anniversary of his election to the papacy. It had been a long pontificate and a difficult, demanding pontificate. His great hope is that concentrating this year, the second last year before the third millennium, on the Holy Spirit, he might obtain from the Holy Spirit to make the 21st century the greatest century in human history, and surely the greatest century in the history of Christianity. And the Holy Father has said on more than one occasion, the 20th century has been the most pain-filled century we can safely say in human history. More wars have been fought, more death casualties since 1900. In all the wars of human history, from the beginning of the record of the human race to the present, better up to 1900. There has been more sin committed, as far as we can humanly tell, since 1900 and all the previous centuries of human history put together. More abortions since 1900, all the recorded history of the human race up
to 1900.
More breakdown of family life. Nothing like it in human history. More suicides. In the 20th century, as far as we can tell, in all the centuries of recorded history put together. More defections from the priesthood. The lowest figure Holy See allows me to use, my 30th year in working for the Holy See. The lowest figure I'm allowed to use publicly is 7,500 priests have left the priesthood since the close of the Second Vatican Council in our country alone. More breakdown of religious communities in the 20th century than ever before in the 19 centuries of the Catholic Church before. More parishes closed in the United States than ever before in American history. In less than 3 years, the Archdiocese of Chicago alone, 62 parishes closed down. In Detroit, where I live, 42 parishes closed down. And the Holy Father keeps saying, quoting St. Paul, their sin has abounded, their grace will even more abound. Given a massive accumulation of sin in the 20th century, is our faith. The more grace the Holy Spirit has in store in the 21st century, in this meditation, I wish to concentrate just on the role of the Holy Spirit in Christianity at large and in the Catholic Church in the present century and the century to come. We believe when God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. He was the second person who became man. But the conception of Christ in Mary's womb was, as St. Luke tells us, the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon them. The angel told Our Lady. And therefore, the child you will conceive and give birth to, he will be the Son of the Most High. Over the years in teaching theology, I have never tired telling, especially my Jesuit students, there have been two historic missions or sendings of the Holy Trinity of the human race. The first sending or mission was of the second person, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the second mission was on Pentecost Sunday, when the second person sent the third person, the Holy Spirit, of the apostles and disciples, and with the resounding emphasis on Our Lady. And this will be the underlying theme of the retreat. On Ascension Thursday, just before our Lord returned to His Heavenly Father, but now no longer as God, but as the God-man. Remember what He told His disciples? I will send the Holy Spirit, the power. And then you will be My witnesses. Remember, and they asked the apostles, written by Saint Luke, the word that Jesus used when He told His disciples, you shall be My witnesses. The word, and the original Greek, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is enough. You will be My witnesses. You will be My martyrs. And that's what this week will be all about. I never tire repeating then what audience I'm speaking to. Ordinary bishops will not survive. Ordinary priests will not survive. Ordinary mothers and fathers will not survive. Ordinary Catholics will not survive. Not this most demonic revolution against the Catholic Church in her 20 centuries of history. Only heroic bishops will survive. Only heroic priests. Only heroic fathers and mothers. Only heroic Catholics will survive. I know what I'm talking about. And a heroic Catholic is a Catholic who is living, hear it, and don't forget, who is living a martyr's life. Never in the history of the papacy in my job over the years has been to know all I can about the bishops of Rome, from Peter to the present vicar of Christ. I know of no pope in 2,000 years who has spoken more frequently, more clearly, and more uncompromisingly, more than me, for Catholics being martyrs, and Pope John Paul II. My dear friends in Christ, I'm not indulging in rhetoric. I know exactly what I am saying. In less than 2 days, to cover an ocean, no less, well, the key to this retreat is to receive from the Holy Spirit the grace we need to live from one perspective, heroic, healthy lives, from another perspective, to live martyrs' lives.